Welcome to Pop Culture RX, part of Hackensack Meridian Health's award-winning podcast. Pop Culture RX is where we sit down with a medical expert and talk through various health-related topics circulating in today's media. In our discussions, you'll hear from a variety of professionals sharing insight and advice on these newsworthy conditions. This is Pop Culture RX. Whether you're active on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or really any other social platform, I'm sure you've all noticed a rise in content centered around skincare. On TikTok, there was a 45% spike in posts under the skincare hashtag last year, and more recently, there's been a viral skincare trend on a flaxseed and water face mask, claiming to be Botox that you can make at home. Other emerging trends include younger and younger children creating a skincare routine, potentially harming their adolescent skin with products that are not designed for young consumers. In 2023, the lazy girl makeup trend, which consists of overnight self-tanner to create a contour that lasts days, went viral. And increasingly, we find ourselves exposed to new and out-of-the-box social media skincare suggestions. Today, we're sitting down with Hackensack Meridian Health dermatologist, Dr. Alexis Young, to weigh in on these emerging skincare trends and give us some expert advice when it comes to the topic that's taken over social media by storm. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Young.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm going to start off and just ask you if you personally have noticed an uptake in patients coming in that are interested in skincare?
Absolutely, especially in like preteens and teenagers coming in showing me their laundry list of products that they buy on Sephora, Ulta, Amazon, and they just show me their buying history. And it's actually kind of mind-blowing.
I think it's crazy how there's so many younger children that are just plopping all these products on their face. But I also wanted to know if you've seen this viral flaxseed mask. It's going around claiming to be at-home Botox. How do you feel about that?
So I haven't seen anybody coming into my office who's, you know, reported that they've done it before. They probably have, and they just haven't mentioned it. I am skeptical that any of these sort of at-home masks are doing anything long-term. I think anything that is that can sort of tighten the skin and add moisture will temporarily improve texture, wrinkles, lines, but it's not going to last the 3 to 4 months that something like Botox will.
For maybe at-home or DIY lovers like me, is there anything maybe long-term that consumers can do that would actually make sense to make a difference in their skin long-term?
So I think the absolute most important thing that anybody can do to protect their skin and to prevent the aging process is to wear sunscreen at all ages, but for these teenagers, these preteens, they're not losing collagen at that point. So they don't need to use anything other than sunscreen to prevent loss down the line. So, you know, washing the face twice a day, moisturizing and wearing sunscreen, that's core anti-aging from an early standpoint.
I think I had seen actually on social media, once you hit SPF 50, it's all the same. Is that a fact or a myth, or what's going on there?
No, above SPF 30, there isn't much of a difference in protection. Now, sometimes people don't use a thick enough coating of sunscreen, so sometimes that higher number might come into play. But if you're using enough of the product above SPF 30, it doesn't matter.
What are some pros and cons to these at-home skincare remedies that you're seeing and things that we see on social media that just kind of promise us the world for the skin?
So I think it's fun for people to be able to do it at home. It's like a science experiment, especially for these young girls. And as one parent said to me, my daughter could be doing a lot worse. So, you know, I think that there can be some fun to it. I think that, you know, like I said, anything that is adding moisture to the skin will improve appearance temporarily. The issue is, you know, that these products are used properly, that they're not causing irritation or allergy. A lot of the ingredients are sort of mixed together without thought into how they're going to interact together, if they're going to cause too much irritation by using too many products or too many ingredients. You know, they're left on too long. You know, there's no sort of direction at home. There's no guidance from a professional. So I think it's, you know, going slowly, not using too many products, you know, monitoring for irritation is the biggest problem. So I definitely have patients coming in with, you know, dermatitis, contact dermatitis, because they use too much product and now they're getting irritated. I have a patient who uses lip exfoliants and lip scrubs and lip balms and, you know, all with fragrance and different colors and additives. And that is sort of a perfect storm for irritation to develop.
Is fragrance really that bad for your skin? I've seen a lot of, like, even dermatologists hop on social media and just talk about how fragrance-free skincare is really the way to go. And I know for sensitive skin that that's a big thing, but maybe for people that don't have sensitive skin or maybe it's not showing up as much, does fragrance really make a difference?
It's not a problem for the general population. It's for those with sensitive skin, absolutely. Fragrance is a common cause of contact dermatitis or skin allergy. So those are the patients who have had, quote, eczema in the past. And I always say, you know, if it smells good, it's bad for your skin. But the general population who doesn't really have any problems with their skin, it's not unsafe to use it as long as it's not causing a rash or irritation.
I know you talked about sunscreen as something that we could do that will benefit our skin in the long run. Are there any other influences, maybe our habits and our lifestyle choices, that make a difference to our skin?
Yeah, so alcohol is a diuretic. You lose a lot of, you know, hydration when you drink alcohol. And so that can contribute to a dull appearance, more fine lines, wrinkles, you know, in the short term. And so that's a habit to avoid. Smoking is a huge cause of early aging. We talk about smokers' lines around the mouth just from puffing cigarettes, but in general, smokers have a much sort of more sallow appearance. They have a loss of collagen, elastin, more than the general population. So avoiding smoking, avoiding tanning bed use. Tanning beds are basically, it's UVA radiation, and UVA rays are the rays that go deeper into the skin. So not only do they cause skin cancer, but also cause skin photo aging. So it's like putting yourself in a light box. And not to mention that tanning bed use is associated with a 75% increased risk of melanoma. So that's something that, you know, I still have patients, knowing what we know now, I still have patients going and using tanning beds. It's like smoking. It's a known carcinogen and people still do it. You know, it's an addiction. But so avoiding tanning bed use, you know, drinking plenty of fluid. Later down the road, like say 30s, 40s and above, using antioxidants, retinoids. We have decades of research that show that retinoids increase collagen growth and decrease the breakdown of collagen. So those are later in life core anti-aging methods, plus sunscreen.
Interesting. And then to go back to smoking, do vapes and maybe e-cigarettes make a difference at all?
So it's an interesting question. I actually haven't seen the data in terms of, you know, whether the chemicals in those products cause aging as much as the traditional cigarettes. Of course, the movement, we make wrinkles by moving our muscle. So if we're puffing on anything long term, that's going to cause more lines around the mouth, certainly. I'm not sure about the rest in terms of the other carcinogens.
I think it's safe to say just no smoking in general will definitely help your skin.
Absolutely.
Have you had any crazy at-home remedies or claims that patients have come in to your practice with?
I've had some talk about this issue of slugging, which is basically just dousing the face in petroleum jelly or Vaseline, which dermatologists love Vaseline. So, I think it's great for moisturizing the skin. It has no preservatives or additives. It's as bland as it gets. So it's a great moisturizer. My concern with slugging is, like, for patients who are prone to acne, you know, the potential for the ointment to clog pores. That's one questionable issue with that process. Other than that, I haven't had a lot of patients coming in with specific sort of recipes. They're probably just not telling me what they're doing at home, I imagine.
One of our team members actually shared how their young daughter has been really interested in skincare and she now has her own skincare routine. I often heard family members and even in the media that it's never too early to start a skincare routine. But maybe statistically and, like, scientifically speaking, is there an age that's too early?
It depends how you define skincare regimen, right? So everybody should be washing their face twice a day. You know, by the time kids are, I mean, really from early on, they should be washing their face twice a day and applying moisturizer and sunscreen. So you could call that a skincare regimen. But now we have these preteens, you know, 9, 10, 11-year-olds and beyond, who are using retinol, they're using antioxidants, they're using alpha hydroxy acid products, they're layering them together, and which is just a setup for irritation. They don't need those products. They're not breaking down collagen in their skin. They should just be protecting for future loss, but they don't need current anti-aging products.
So maybe for parents who are seeing their kids kind of create these skincare routines, what's one thing they could do now that doesn't entail buying that expensive serum at Sephora?
So I was talking to my dermatology friends, colleagues about this. Like, I have a good friend who has three teenage daughters, and what she tries to do is to sit down with her kids and show them that the ingredients in some of the cheaper products, the kind of go-to product lines, are exactly the same, beyond the stuff that's not needed, like the retinol, the antioxidants. That's just something to eliminate altogether. But, you know, the products with these, the fancy packaging, the colors that attract all these, you know, preteen girls, it's the same product inside. So it's a complete waste of money. So I think really sitting down and looking at the ingredients, you know, seeing how allowance is being spent. I think that's how a lot of these kids are buying the products. They're using their allowance to do it. And, you know, really paying attention to what they're using and explaining why they don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Is it harmful or any... I mean, I can imagine like retinol and retinoids can be harmful for like a 7-year-old to put that on their face. Are any specific ingredients something, you know, you should stay away from if you're below 15?
Yeah, I think retinols can be really irritating. They can cause an irritant dermatitis, which is like dry, flaky, itchy skin. And it can be, you know, very difficult to treat it. It can be embarrassing to go to school looking that way. So I think that's an ingredient to avoid. Now, that being said, in the professional dermatologist setting, we use retinoids all the time to treat acne. So, but that would be under the guidance of a dermatologist, you know, explaining exactly how to use the products, prescribing the correct strength for the patient. So it's not... The main danger would be irritation from the product.
Okay. And I think when I look for new skincare, I think I see so many different products, but they all kind of claim to do the same thing. How can someone who's shopping for skincare, how can they like simplify that process and know what to really look for versus all these claims that are tightening your skin or this has vitamin E and C and it's going to do this for you? What should I really be looking for?
So I think moisturizers are critical to maintain hydration. Moisturizers help to temporarily plump the skin. So the skin will appear younger. Wrinkles will improve with the use of moisturizer. Beyond that, moisturizer is not doing anything else long term. So then it comes down to the product not having anything irritating like fragrance or certain preservatives that some people can be allergic to. So it's avoiding those types of ingredients. And then beyond that, it's the feel and smell of the product and what the individual likes. So, you know, it's trying different products. In my office, I try to give a lot of samples of various good moisturizers and other products and cleansers, et cetera. And I let patients try them out so they're not investing in a large, you know, container. They can try the product, see how it feels. Some products leave more of a film on the skin and others you don't feel at all. And so one person might like that feel that they have that extra moisture. They can kind of feel it on their skin. Other people can't stand that feeling. So that's why we have so many products out there is to cater to the taste of the individual. Beyond that, also, it comes down to packaging, marketing. There's a company out there that has an absolutely brilliant marketing plan, marketing these products to preteens where they can come up with their own recipes for skincare products. And they keep going back to buy more and more ingredients to mix together. It's, like I said, it's a brilliant marketing campaign. These girls don't stand a chance against it. It's like every, you know, preteen dream to, you know, come up with different recipes and do their own science experiment.
When I was a teenager, I started dealing with acne for a little bit, and I resorted to a very popular treatment that kind of,
I can guess what
that and that I felt, once I went to college, I realized that it really made my skin super dry and dependent on that product. And if I didn't use that last step for 2 days, I would start to see little bumps come up again. I've had a lot of friends say the same thing, where it makes their skin really dependent on that product. Is that like an age thing, or is it the product itself? And maybe what, for someone who's a teen going through acne, because it can be such a confidence letdown and can really shake your confidence, what's something that they can do instead, or products that they can kind of implement into their routine?
Yeah, I mean, the issue for acne, we have a few good ingredients over the counter for acne. So I think for very mild early acne, it's okay to start with some of those products. Now, all acne products are drying and irritating. And so the difference with, you know, starting with over the counter is that there really isn't any counseling that that's a major side effect of these products. So, you know, if it gets a little bit beyond mild acne, patients should see their dermatologists to really have the proper products prescribed and proper counseling for how to apply them and use them. But the main ingredients over the counter for acne are things like salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide. Those are usually found as washes. Like, I like the cleansers because they don't sit on the skin. They're washed off, so they're a little less irritating than applying them in like a cream form. And then we have adapalene, which used to be prescription and it's now over the counter. It's a retinoid. It is not the most effective, and it's the best tolerated of the retinoids. So for very mild acne, that would be a place to start. But I think if any, you know, intolerability develops, if patients are really having, you know, trouble using it, they're developing a rash, the acne is getting worse, then they need to see their dermatologist and have a proper regimen prescribed.
And that last retinoid, is that safe for kids to use too, or kids dealing with acne?
It is. It's safe with the risk of irritation. Right. And if irritation develops, you stop the product, you use your moisturizer, and it should go away. It will get better.
I think it's so interesting how much in the media and even products out there are kind of like marketed for children. I saw recently a skincare company that does a mommy and me mask. So there's like a face mask for the mom, and then there's a smaller face mask for children. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think it's a fun activity to do with your, you know, with your child. You know, what I worry about with these sort of like preteen, I've seen some of these like TikTok videos of like 9 and 10 year olds posting videos of themselves, and probably their moms are the ones who are taking the videos, I'm guessing. And to think about appearance that much at the age of 9 or 10, it's just, it's really worrisome. I have a 4.5 year old daughter, and I'm terrified for her when she gets to this age. This focus on appearance at such a young age. I don't actually do any social media, like professionally or personally. And I have a patient, she's a high school teacher, and she told me, she's like, you're gonna have to learn it. It's coming. And you know, I think to a point it can be a fun activity for kids to do. And yes, they could be doing a lot worse. It just, there has to be some sort of limit to it, or some sort of insight into, you know, it's not the, you know, it doesn't have to be sort of for posting on social media to become famous. You know, it can just be a fun thing to do at home, to try out different products, but not worry about how other people perceive you necessarily.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting, because the way that skincare especially has skyrocketed on social media, and I think due to COVID, everyone was at home, everyone was bored, trying new things. And now the younger audience, I think, is just jumping on TikTok. So I think a lot of parents especially are a little concerned with what their child is watching and what they're going to do, obviously. So maybe any guidance you can give them for any parents that are seeing their children who are young and trying these crazy trends like the flaxseed face mask or things like that.
I think, you know, like I said, I have a preschool daughter who, so I'm not at the point yet where I'm sort of trying to interpret limits on social media. So I'm not the expert in that area, but I think, you know, maybe making it a weekend activity that they do with their friends at a sleepover instead of having a regimen that they do every single night that they feel like they have to do to keep up with, like, quote, anti-aging. My babysitter has a 12-year-old daughter, and she sent me a photo of all of her products lined up, and it's like 17 or 18 products. And so I was joking. I said, how does she have time to do her schoolwork? Like, when is she doing homework? She's just putting products on her face all the time. So, you know, I think just limiting the amount of time they have to do it, potentially limiting the number of products or how their allowance is spent. I know that's kind of opening a can of worms, and, you know, allowance is supposed to be, you know, spent the way kids want it to be spent. But, you know, talking about the ingredients, and, you know, just trying to limit the sort of focus put on appearance, and delaying that as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure if you've seen this lazy girl makeup trend, but it's pretty much where a lot of people actually were doing this, where they put self-tanner on their face to kind of create a contour, and you sleep with it overnight, wash it off in the morning, and it's supposed to give you a contour that lasts days. Self-tanner, I know, is supposed to be for your body. How do you think these kind of trends, like, affect your skin, putting things that are meant for your body, like self-tanner, that can definitely be a little clogging, and applying that to your face?
Yeah, so that's one issue with all of these products is in teenage skin, it could lead to acne, and teenagers are already prone to acne. So that's one issue. So you should look for products that are not, say, non-comedogenic, and that means it won't clog pores, oil-free, non-comedogenic. I believe there are some self-tanners that are specifically made for the face. You know, oftentimes they're called bronzing products. I haven't seen this trend specifically, but the main concern would be irritation, because the skin on the face is much more sensitive than the skin on the body. So that would be the issue with doing that. I would also think it would be incredibly messy on the sheets. But, you know, safety-wise, I would much rather have patients using self-tanner than going to a tanning bed or getting a tan outside. So I don't have a problem with that at all. It's just, you know, following the instructions on the label. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah. So I think sticking to self-tanner for your face, maybe just do that instead of the one that's for your body.
Specific, exactly.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would want to know, from a dermatologist perspective, do you have any at-home skincare hacks, or maybe at-home remedies that you're doing for yourself if you feel like you have really dry skin or oily skin or something's just going on?
So I keep it very simple. I wash my face twice a day. I use tons of moisturizer. I have certain products I like in the summertime and certain products that I use more in the wintertime that are thicker. Reapplying moisturizer throughout the day if you feel dry. I use a retinoid at night. It's prescription, and I've been using it for probably 20 years, but it's retinoids. Like I said, we have decades of research that they actually work. So I use that at night. I probably should use a vitamin C serum in the morning, an antioxidant. I don't, just because I don't have the time, but that's really it. And I wear my sunscreen every single day. I wear it on my face every single day, all year long. The UVA rays get through glass, through clouds. We are always exposed all year long. And so that is critical. Other than that, I think, you know, masks, facials, I think it's great for relaxation. I don't necessarily think it's doing anything long term for the skin.
I know not everyone can see, but Dr. Young has beautiful skin. So I will definitely be noting that.
Thank you.
Well, as a skincare enthusiast, I was especially excited to talk to you today, Dr. Young. This has been really educational and fun for me, and I'm sure all our listeners as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you.
The material provided through this podcast is intended to be used as general information only and should not replace the advice of your physician. Always consult a physician for individual care.